The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 14. It's on page 1243 in our Bibles. Ephesians 3, beginning to read with verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more exceedingly, far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Before we open this beautiful portion of God's truth, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Bless this beautiful passage of scripture unto our hearts. Apply it, O Lord, by your Spirit. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. This beautiful passage is a prayer of the Apostle Paul. And he's praying for the Ephesian Christians, but he's praying for us as well. He's praying for all believers. He's praying for the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this prayer of the Apostle Paul is prayer for inner strength. It's a prayer that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Secondly, that we may be rooted and grounded in love. Thirdly, to experience this with all the saints. And fourthly, that we may be strong unto the glory of God. So first of all, he is praying that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. For this reason, says Paul, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He is praying that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in our hearts. Now, how is it possible for Christ to dwell in our hearts? This was a question in the days of the Reformation. Jesus ascended into heaven, didn't he? Before the eyes of everyone who saw him. He ascended into heaven and they saw him leave. But just before he ascended into heaven, he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. Now the question is, how can Jesus, on the one hand, be in heaven with his heavenly Father at the right hand of God, and on the other hand, be present with us at all times? How is that possible? And there were some who said it's possible because the human nature of Jesus is ubiquitous. That is, the human nature of Jesus has the quality of being omnipresent. So the human nature of Jesus is here also. That's what some said. And they said, when we have the Lord's Supper, the actual bread turns into the body of Christ. So his body is here. And the wine literally turns into his blood, and that's physical. So he is here. And the reformers said, no, no, no. That's not the way it is. And in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, which deals with the ascension of Christ, the question is asked, when Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, how is it possible that he is also here with us? And the answer is, yes, Jesus is at the right hand of God, our Heavenly Father. He is seated there. Physically, he is in heaven. But he not only is true man, he is also real, righteous God. And as God, he is everywhere present at the same time. And the Catechism has this beautiful phrase, with his majesty, grace, power, and spirit, he is not absent from us for a moment. He is not absent from us for a moment. So when he said, I am with you always to the end of the world, that's the fact. He is with us with his grace, majesty, spirit, and power. He is not absent from us for a moment. So Paul is praying that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. The only way he can dwell in our hearts is because he is God. That he is everywhere present. He is present with us right here in our hearts. In fact, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear when he says your body, your physical body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. So the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, dwells in our bodies. So Paul, when he speaks to the Athenians, he says, in him, that is in Christ, we live and move and have our being. He is at no time absent from us. And so now Paul is writing to his dear brothers and sisters in Ephesus and to us and to all those who trust in Jesus Christ. He's writing to us and he is praying to God in our presence and he is saying, Lord, grant that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That we may be grafted into Christ. That's the only way. We're grafted into him by faith. As I was explaining to the children, that's a wonderful, it's actually, you could call it a miracle of growth. Anyone who has seen the work of a orchard man knows that they can graft a golden delicious twig onto a red delicious tree, and that golden delicious twig will begin to grow and will bear golden delicious apples on a red delicious apple tree. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. And it happens all the time. A couple of years ago, I was privileged to serve the Zion United Reformed Church in Ripon, California. Now, Ripon, California is east of San Francisco. It is an area of the country in the northern part of the San Joaquin Valley of California. It is an area that is particularly suited for almonds. Now, you know what almonds are. There's a candy bar called Almond Joy. That's almond. We know it as almond, but the L is really silent, just like salmon. The L is silent. Now, there are hundreds of acres of almond trees around Modesto, Ripon, Stockton, California. Almonds grow where there is at least 30 days of 30 degree weather. There has to be 30 degree weather for at least 30 days for almonds to flourish. That's why you will not see almond trees in Southern California, because there aren't 30 days of 30 degree weather. And you won't see almonds up in Seattle area, because there are way too many days that are much lower than 30 degrees. But just in that area around Ripon, California, there's perfect weather for almonds. Why do I tell you this? Because every almond tree is grafted onto a peach tree root for two reasons. The peach fruit is sweeter than an almond. And secondly, the peach root is stronger than an almond root, stronger to withstand the winds. And so for these two reasons. Now, if you would take a peach pit and break it, you will see inside of the peach pit a seed that looks exactly like an almond. The peach and the almond are related together. And that's why they can take an almond tree, it's a small, small one, and graft it into a peach tree root. And it develops wonderful, wonderful almonds, which are sweeter than the normal, than the raw almond, than the natural almond. It's got that peach sweetness to it. Anyway, that's grafting. Now, we are grafted into Christ Jesus by faith. It is a miracle of grace. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that dwelleth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. That's what happens in grafting. We dwell in Christ, and he dwells in us. We live by the strength of Jesus Christ. His grace, his strength, his power is seen in us, and it's through faith that we are grafted into him. And that's what Paul is praying for. He is saying that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, the interesting thing about that verb to dwell is that it is passive and it is perfect. It's a perfect tense and it's a passive voice. Now, the passive voice means that someone else did it. That we are grafted by someone else. And Jesus tells us who it is. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and my Father is the gardener. My Father is the one that takes you and puts you in my Son, Jesus Christ. He grafts you into me. It's the Father that does it. That's the point of the passive voice. But it's also a perfect tense, which means it's done once in the past, and now it stands completed. Once we're grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not going to be torn away. No one can pull us away from him. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Now I want to ask you, are you grafted into Christ? Do you know that he and his Spirit dwell within you? that His Word is in you, and that you are, and the life you now live, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. That's what Paul says, you know, in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, so it is no longer I that live. Did you hear that? It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is a glorious thing. That's what it means to be a child of God. That Christ dwells within us. That we are not our own, but we belong with body and soul unto our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He dwells within us. That's the wonderful mystical union of Christ and His people. Now this is symbolized in the Lord's Supper. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the precious body of the Lord Jesus was broken for you. And take and drink, for Christ's body was shed, His blood was shed for you. And so we take that bread and eat it. And take that wine and drink it. And that bread becomes part of our body, just like your breakfast is part of your body today. And that wine is part of your body, just as the orange juice you drank this morning is part of your body right now. That's a sign and a seal of Christ's dwelling in us. It's a marvelous thing, and that's what Paul is praying for. He is praying that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. And the second thing he's praying for is that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. He is praying that we may really know the love of Christ, that we may experience the love of Christ. Knowing not merely with intellectual knowledge, not with the head only, but knowing it intimately, knowing it like experiencing it. You know, the word to know is a very beautiful word. It means not only to know, that is to understand, and to comprehend, but it is to experience. The Bible uses it in an interesting way. Already in Genesis, where you read that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore a son. He uses the Bible uses the word know. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore a son. Now that knowledge is a whole lot more than just scientific knowledge or intellectual knowledge. It's a knowledge of experience. In John 17, verse 1 and 2, it is this. This is my prayer. Jesus is praying in that high priestly prayer that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Him whom Thou hast sent, even Jesus Christ. And that knowing is not simply knowing facts. It's that, but it's much more than that. It's experiencing it. It's knowing intimately. It's knowing just as we are fully known. It is knowing Jesus Christ. And that is what Paul is praying for here. That we may know Him. That we may comprehend the love of Christ. And there are two words that he uses here to describe the connection between Christ and us. The two words are being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted comes right from agriculture. We have to be rooted in Him, and that's similar to what the grafting is, that we are rooted in Christ, that we draw from His strength, life, and health. and all the blessings that we can possibly have are all from Christ. That's the word grounded. But then there's the word, that's the word rooted. Then the word grounded comes from building. Christ is the foundation, and we are built on that foundation. And so in those two words, he describes how we're connected to the Lord. We're connected by an organic union with Jesus Christ, that word planted, and then we're built upon him. That's the word grounded, that he is the foundation and we're built upon him. And what is the purpose of that? The purpose is this, so that we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. There you have the four dimensions. That we may know the breadth of the love of Christ, the length of the love of Christ, the depth of the love of Christ, and the height of the depth of Christ. Of the love of Christ. First of all, the breadth. How wide, how broad is the love of Christ? How broad is his power and glory and love? The children sang about it when they sang, "O God, of who is so great, God of great and God of small, God of one and God of all, God of weak and God of strong, God to whom all things belong." That's how wide it is. How wide is it? It includes all creation. Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." They're all part, they're all controlled by the Lord. It's the Lord's glory that is seen all through life. Psalm 150, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." It's that wide. It includes all things. It includes education. It includes politics. It includes the study of mathematics. It includes music. It includes art. It includes everything. That's the breadth of the love of Christ and of the glory of Christ and of the power of Christ. It includes everything. And that's a wonderful, wonderful comfort. It's a wonderful realization that the love of Christ and the power of Christ embraces the entire creation. That's why the word university is an interesting word. A university is a place where the whole universe is studied. And the ideal is to have a Christian university where all things are studied from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that in the Bible, Colossians 2 verse 3, "In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." That's why Reformed Christians who see the universality of the power and control of the Lord Jesus Christ, the breadth of it, want to see this applied in education. But we want to see it applied in all of life. You remember the great Dutch theologian and politician Abraham Kuyper, he said, "There is not a square inch in this entire universe of which Jesus does not say, 'It is mine. It is mine.'" Everything belongs to the Lord, the whole earth and heavens and everything in them. That's the breadth of it. And now the next word is the length of it. How long is the love of Christ? How long? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us, even before the foundation of the world, he chose us in Christ, before the foundation of the world. That's how far back it goes, before the earth was made. And it goes on to till Christ comes again, and unto all eternity. That's the length of it. And how about the depth of it? How deep does the love of God go? It goes to the depths of sin. The psalmist says in Psalm 130, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. If thou shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. Do you know what Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, the last chapter of the second to the last 33, verse 27 of Deuteronomy? The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath what are the everlasting arms? Underneath the bottom. Underneath the farthest someone could fall, there are the everlasting arms under them. What a marvelous thing. How deep is the love of God? It goes down to the deepest of the deep. You know who experienced how deep that went? Jesus himself. When he was on the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The love of God extended all the way down to the depths of hell. That's why in the creed we say he descended into hell. How wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ? And then the fourth dimension is how high it is. How high is the love of Christ? Psalm 103 says, it is higher than the heavens. Higher than the heavens. The love of Christ is so great and vast. My God, how wonderful thou art. That's why we sing that song. My God, how wonderful thou art. Thy majesty, how bright. How beautiful thy mercy seat in depths of burning light. And then that verse that I discovered, that's also part of that same hymn. That thou shouldst think so well of me, yet be the God thou art, is darkness to my intellect, but sunshine to my heart. Do you know the love of Christ? Do you know how wide it is? How high it is, how deep it is, how long it is. It's past knowledge. There are some things the Bible says are surpassing knowledge. One is the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. It's amazing. No wonder the songwriters, and the songwriters are poets, and it's poets that have touched on how great all this is. Think of this song, this poem. How vast the benefits divine which we in Christ possess. We are redeemed from sin and shame and called to holiness. 'Tis not for works that we have done, these all to him we owe, but he of his electing love, salvation doth bestow. The poets touch it. How vast the benefits divine. Oh, we love to sing those songs. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my heart, my all. No wonder John Newton, who was converted from being a slave trader, and his life was terrible, when he was converted, he wrote, "Amazing Grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me! I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. That's grace. That's the love of God. It's so wonderful. Now, Paul is praying that we may be able to comprehend that love, that we may be able to experience that love. Now, Paul says, we can do that together with all the saints. We're not in this glorious journey, almost like a space journey, wide, long, high, deep. It just covers everything. We're not on that journey alone. He says that we may comprehend with all the saints how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. We're part of the whole body of Christ, universal. In the early church, the believers in Jesus Christ really had to pay a price for their faith. There were those who were thrown to lions. There were those who were burned at the stake. There were those who were crucified. There were those who were deprived of everything. In the Middle Ages, there were those who were bound hand and foot and thrown into the river with rocks on them so they'd go right down. I mean, Christians were persecuted all the time. The Fox's Book of Martyrs chronicles it. We're part of them. And the early church confessed their faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and I believe that. And it concludes with, I believe in the resurrection of the body. We're part of that early church. We're part of them. We comprehend with all the saints. And then you look at the creeds and the confessions of the time of the Reformation. The Belgian Confession, written by Guido de Bray, who was a pastor in Belgium. And he writes to the King of Spain. And he says, now listen, O King, we, the believers in Christ Jesus, are not out to overthrow the government. We're not here to undermine your authority. We are willing to obey all your laws of the government. But with regard to the truth of God's word, we will not bend. We will offer our tongues to knives, our mouths to gags, and our whole bodies to the flames rather than to deny this faith. We will never deny it. And the king got his message, the message of Guido de Bray, and he said, who is it? Who wrote this? They said, well, this preacher in Belgium. He said, I want to meet him. And so Guido comes into the palace, and the king said, did you write this? Your honor, I did. He said, okay. On May 31, 1563, Guido was hung until he died. He was hung for what he wrote. You and I are part of that. We're part of that. We sing Faith of Our Fathers Living Still. We comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ. We're in this all together. And we praise Him together and we rejoice to know Him. We may have to go through times of persecution. Christians in Syria, Christians in Iran, Christians in Iraq, they're going through it right now. We pray for our dear brother and sister Sultani as they minister to the Iranians. This is a battle going on, and it will go on until the end of time. But the love of Christ is so vast and great, and it holds us. We're grafted into Him, and we can never be shaken. In Him we live and move and have our being. Being convinced of this, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we experience this with all the saints, and the glorious purpose is that we may be filled unto all the fullness of God, that His power, His love, His grace may surround us. And Paul concludes this marvelous prayer by this with this doxology. Now to Him who is able to do far more exceedingly than all we ask or imagine, unto Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever, world without end. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. Today, we are not our own. We belong, grafted into Jesus Christ, grafted into His wonderful body by faith and grace by Your Spirit. Bless us this day. May we know You and love You more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.